from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings and Jason Dumas rocking with you here on a Friday after Independence Day. Happy Friday to all those. It's actually a payday. I just realized this, Jay.
Oh, yeah.
This day just got so much better.
Yeah, look, I missed 3 weeks of work with my Achilles tear, and I didn't want to use up all of my PTO at Cron. So I went the disability route, and I'm still waiting for that disability 3 weeks worth of payment. So
soon.
If anyone from the California Department of Disability is listening, can you please put some pep in your step? My Lord, is a hard process.
You better be careful.
Yeah, we got my guy's credit card maxed out right now, trying to get through it.
It's difficult. It's intentionally difficult, these people.
Well, of course, one place you can catch Jason Dumas is going to be this weekend, and it's going to be tomorrow. At the California Classic, starting tomorrow, July 6th, a summer basketball showcase, the California Classic at Chase Center, featuring 2024 NBA draft picks, a second-year pros, and more players. So go to warriors.com for your tickets, all brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. We got 1 hour left here. It's flying by here on 95.7 The Game. The number is 888-957-9570. Big thank you to Tony Jones, who joined us earlier from The Athletic on the River Islands guest line. But what we're getting into now, Jason, right before the break, we kind of just threw up this hypothetical, this question, and we're trying to make it as realistic as possible. But the Warriors, Steph Curry and Steve Kerr,
they're getting on you in the
what do you mean?
Text line.
Uh-oh.
Kawhi is less reliable than Evan Giddings in a pickup basketball game.
Oh, man. Yeah, I will wear that one, but I'll give you the reason why in just a little bit. But to kind of set it up, you know, again, Team USA is starting up. Kerr and Curry are going to be with a lot of big boys. Ideally, 12 best basketball players on planet Earth. And we're just wondering, like, who realistically, if Kerr's recruiting, could they get? And, you know, you said it was Devin Booker. I think it's Kawhi Leonard. So I guess I'll let you make a case first before I get into Kawhi.
All right. So, I mean, obviously, do I have to really make a case for his play on the court? Kind of speaks for itself. He's a top 10 talent in the NBA. I guess you got to make a case for what makes it realistic. I'm probably same for you too. You don't have to really realistically say why Kawhi Leonard would be a basketball fit. It's pretty obvious.
Same for Booker.
Yeah, anybody on that roster would be a basketball fit. They're on the roster because they're really, really good.
Yeah, I'll take any of the best 12 players on planet Earth.
Yeah. So, what makes it realistic? Now, before I go in, let me preface it by saying, I know this is far-fetched. Bear with us. This is like hour 30 of me this week on radio. We got to have some fun.
Hour 30 of radio, hour like what, 20 of television or something?
Yeah. So we're having fun here, people.
Man's been working.
We're having fun here, people. So I think it is realistic because as of right now, the Phoenix Suns have the highest payroll in the NBA. And as I've said multiple times over the last 3 hours, I think Phoenix is on the downfall production-wise. I think Kevin Durant's best days are behind him. He's still elite, but I don't think he's getting any better. Like, I was actually surprised at how much Ant Edwards outplayed him. Completely outplayed him. After that game one, when Ant Edwards was talking all that trash in Kevin Durant's face, I was like, oh man, Kevin Durant is going to get his get back watch. And he never really did. He just wasn't good enough to outplay. Wasn't really good enough to outplay Ant Edwards, which is a high bar too. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but I was surprised. So the Suns have the highest payroll. They are going to be in luxury tax hell. They are into the second apron, which, as Tony Jones told us, everybody wants to get out of that.
Yep.
So there will be some incentive if they got off of Devin Booker's contract. And now, trust me, I think Bradley Beal, in a theoretical world, it'd be Bradley Beal who they get off of. But I'm not sure anybody's touching Bradley Beal anymore. The past year has shown us kind of like, all right, he's finally on a contender. Look, he's unavailable.
And if you want to touch him, he might exercise his no trade clause.
Yeah, he's just, I didn't even know he had a no trade clause.
He's one of the very few players in the NBA that does.
So, yeah.
So, there are only two that have no trade clauses, actually. It's
who's the other one?
Him and LeBron?
Exactly.
Man, oh man.
Ain't that wild. Bradley Beal, LeBron.
So, Bradley Beal has the worst contract in basketball if you factor in that he also has a no trade clause. That stinks. You are married to that. That's awful. Anyway, back to the point. Phoenix has some incentive to shed some salary. In an ideal world, they probably wouldn't want to shed Devin Booker, and they probably won't. But if Steph Curry successfully got in Devin Booker's ear over the next couple weeks while they're at training camp in Vegas, and then they go over to France, and he's like, look, Dev, we could use you. I've talked the lake up. And mind you, everybody, this is hypothetical. If you're coming in the middle of this, I've talked to Lake up. I've talked to Steve. You've talked to Steve. Steve's here. Steve's sitting two seats behind us. We want you. All you have to do is go to Phoenix, go to that owner. I forget his name. Rich as ever.
Matt Ishbia?
Yeah. He's always on the sidelines and stuff. Go to him and tell him, hey, I do not want to play another minute for this organization. It's been great. I'm appreciative you drafted me. It's no hard feelings, but I want to start playing somewhere else, and I would prefer to play in San Francisco with Steph Curry. I will not make a big funk out of it. I will not blow up in the media. Let's do this silently. I think Phoenix would be inclined to do it. I really, really do. Just because of their financial situation and the reality of where they're probably going to be in the standings, not going to win an NBA championship. That's the guy. Now, you would probably have to move Pajemski, Kuminga, and draft capital, I guess. If you don't move Pajemski, he'd have to go to the bench, obviously. Who knows? Who knows what that package is? It's probably a whole bunch of draft capital, which for Devin Booker, give up every available draft pick that you are allowed to. And then, you know, have your pick, max draft capital, and then have your pick of two or three of these players. Let's just say two, if they give, like, the whole farm in draft capital. Pick two of Wiggins, Kuminga, Pajemski. Boom. Done. The Warriors are going to have an amazing team.
In a perfect world, I agree with you. And again, we're talking about in a perfect world. And the whole exercise to kind of figure out, like, who'd be the most realistic of the 12 players on Team USA that Curry could recruit. Jason believes it's Devin Booker. people are coming down my road because I think it's Kawhi Leonard. And the reason why I think it's Kawhi Leonard is because I think he's the most flawed of the 12 players. I think that's what makes him attainable, realistically. I think that the Clippers just showed us that they do not have an intensive thought to keep things together. Like, they just let Paul George walk for nothing. They paid 6 first-round picks to get him to Los Angeles. They gave up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to bring him in and pair him with Kawhi. It didn't work out. So the Clippers just let Paul George walk for nothing. They extended Kawhi to a 3-year max. That takes him through his age 35 season. So he's not as old as Paul George. He's not even as old as Jimmy Butler. He's certainly younger than Kevin Durant. And the one question about him is injury. I think the Clippers would be inclined to listen if the Warriors, like you said, you'd be willing to give up all the draft picks in the world for Devin Booker. I'd be willing to give up all the draft picks in the world for Kawhi Leonard. And I think the Clippers would take them because they also don't own a first-round pick until 2030. They have no way to improve their roster outside of potentially trading a player like Kawhi Leonard. And the Warriors just showed us this offseason that they'd be willing to go all in on an aging superstar for one last crack at a championship. And Kawhi Leonard, again, the question is if, but when he's healthy in the postseason, he's one of the best performers we've seen of his generation. He's got 2 finals MVPs for 2 different teams, one of which, of course, was against the Warriors. He is a guy that can single-handedly take over a game and a series when he's healthy. And if he's competing in Team USA, he just came off of playing 68 games, which was the most in quite some time in the regular season. He was a second-team All-NBA member. I think the Warriors could realistically go after Kawhi Leonard more than any other member of Team USA. And I think he would be the perfect running mate for Steph Curry. And if you're talking about making salaries match, you know, whatever you would do for Devin Booker, you could do the same thing for Kawhi. He's making 50 and 50 the next couple seasons. And I just feel like of all the players that I believe that would be willing to be either moved by their team or get to a place they can compete for a title, it's also Kawhi Leonard. So that would be my guy, and that would be my case.
You mentioned Kawhi and his age, and he's younger than this guy, but here's the thing. He is like 40 in basketball years. That man has been under the knife so much. He is like literally why, what's it called? He's like what made rest. What's the word? What's
load
the word?
Management?
Yeah. He is like the
he's the poster boy for it.
He's the poster boy for load management. He's done, really, in my opinion. And it's a shame because the talent is still there, obviously. It's just the body is not still there. Now, granted, would I take Kawhi Leonard on the Golden State Warriors? Absolutely. He would make them much better. And obviously, if you load managed and you're very smart about how you used him because of his injury history, it could work. And I think if they acquired Kawhi, they would immediately jump into the top 4 in the West, which gives you a chance. But I don't trust that body of his. I just don't trust his body. That's why I think Devin Booker is just a clear-cut guy. I mean, another guy,
Embiid?
Yeah, that Embiid's interesting. He's very interesting.
He's also been under the knife a lot.
Yeah, now he's another guy. His injury history is extremely concerning, but he's better than Kawhi Leonard at this point. So it would be not less of a risk in the fact of is a less risk that he would be injured. It's a bigger it'd be a bigger payout. Like, you're taking probably around the same risk, maybe even a little more of a risk with Embiid, but you get more back if they both have healthy. So it'd be a bigger payout, for so to speak, if Embiid was healthy. When Embiid's healthy, he's one of the top 3 players in the world. I mean, he was averaging something insane last year before he got hurt. He was like averaging over 35 points per game. I think he would have got the MVP again if he didn't get hurt.
If he qualified for it. He was putting up numbers that haven't been done by a center since like Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. Yes. His playoff struggles and never getting past the second round, well advertised. His injury history, well advertised. But let's not get it confused. When that man is on the court, I don't think there's three better players in basketball than him. It's like him, Jokic, and my man in Dallas, probably. Over the last like two, three years, cumulatively, it's probably those three. Best three players in the NBA. And you can rank them wherever you want. So, Embiid is a wild card. But I have not gotten any inclination that he would ever ask out of Philly.
No, I mean, all these players, I think, are in pretty good situations, except for, I mean, Durant would be the other one, but I think the Suns and the Clippers are the two teams that represent the most, like, toxic situations right now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't think Philly is a toxic situation. And I just forgot, they just signed Paul George. Ain't no way in hell Embiid's going to see that through.
Yeah, I mean, unless something catastrophic happens to Paul George or the season. Like,
but you got to think in this context, you only have this summer. He can't recruit him anymore.
No. But I'm saying, I don't know if any of these players are gettable like this summer.
Got it. Well, the way I'm looking at it in this extremely hypothetical game we just made up on the fly.
It's what we do.
The way I'm looking at it, they have to get it done this summer. Because once Steph isn't with him anymore, there's no recruiting anymore.
Well, that's what made the... Like, I understand that they traded Poole to have the option to get off of Paul's money and to save essentially $73 million between him and Clay. But I didn't understand if they were going to continue to take a swing, why they didn't just exercise his option. Now, maybe it's because they also thought they could turn that money into, you know, like D'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield. I don't know if they could get those players if Chris Paul is still on the team. But it was actually, I know they wouldn't be able to get Melton because the full mid-level wasn't an option for them based on the money. But it seemed a little premature if there was another dark horse candidate out there, because part of this, like part of getting a superstar is, there's only so many teams that can actually acquire one because they can make the money work. And the Warriors were one of a few teams that could make money work with Chris Paul, but now they don't have many salaries even aggregated together that can match up to acquire someone like we're talking about.
Exactly. And we actually, this is not breaking news, but it's something we should read on air. Klay Thompson bids farewell to the Golden State Warriors. Let me pull up this Instagram caption right now. He finally broke his silence, so to speak.
Sea captain out.
I'm gonna read it. It looks like it's about 6-7 sentences, but lock in. Klay Thompson, he posted this 30 minutes ago. Oh, Bay Area, there are not enough words and images to convey how I really feel about y'all. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for the best times of my life. It was such an honor to put that Dubs jersey on from day one. I really just wanted to be the best I could be and help bring as many championships possible to the region. The best part was not the rings, though. It was the friendships I made that will last a lifetime. My family and I would like to thank all of the amazing people who worked tirelessly to make the Warriors organization world class. Don't be sad it's over. Be happy it happened. Until we meet again, Sea Captain out. And then he posted a whole bunch of pictures. Nice little bit.
I'm so upset!
Nice little bid farewell.
Does that bring a tear to your eye, Carter?
That was sad.
I'm looking at the pictures he posted. It's a lot of pictures with his family.
It's kind of chronological.
Yeah, so the first one is him getting drafted, holding the Klay Thompson jersey on draft night. Second one is him, looks like a rookie Klay Thompson, shaking hands with Ray Allen.
Yep.
When Ray Allen was on the Celtics. The second one is a split picture between Draymond, Steph and Clay winning their first championship to winning their fourth. That's a really nice one. Next, it's him and Michael Mulder. Jeez, remember that name? Mikey Thompson.
Yeah, Michael Mulder.
It's him and Mikey Thompson, his brother. And it's Mikey's wearing a Santa Cruz G League uniform when Mikey played for the Santa Cruz Warriors. Then it's Clay and Jerry West.
The logo.
Sitting next to Jerry West. Clay and the Warriors. I think that is their first championship because I don't.
Yeah, because David Lee's on the team there.
Yeah, and I don't see Kevin Durant. That's them with Obama.
Jason Thompson
in the White House. Jason Thompson, Ryder guy. Then it's he had to include Easy Money Sniper. Obviously, it's gotcha. Clay. It's Clay and Kevin Durant. Then it's Clay and his two brothers celebrating the four championship. Mikey Thompson and
Trace
Thompson, the Major League Baseball player. Some video that it's video Rocco.
It's Rocco coming. I think that's my favorite.
Yeah, it's Rocco walking through the halls of Chase Center. And then the final one, fitting Clay out on the water, just riding his boat into the city. Looks like he's on his way to Chase Center from that vantage point.
All of which to the song Way Too Real by Too Short.
Yeah.
Good
for Clay, man. He's earned his flowers, obviously. That's the understatement of the year. He's earned his flowers. And it's going to be weird, but I also feel like it was also very diplomatic, his words. It wasn't overly emotional. It might be emotional to fans, but he was simply like, hey, don't be sad. Don't be sad it's over. Be happy it happened till we meet again. I mean, look, man. Like I've said all week, I definitely have caught a lot of flack, I think, for the way I've talked about Clay leaving and some of the things that have transpired behind closed doors that I think people just don't want to hear. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened. People don't want to hear. They don't want the memory of him getting sullied, whatever. Whatever the case might be, I've caught a lot of flack. And I'm probably the best man to catch that flack and the best man to have that messaging just because I'm not a Bay Area native. I can kind of be really, really objective. But then there's probably people who can look at me and be like, you don't get it. You don't get it. And I guess I can see that vantage point too. But my longstanding point is this. When you have a partnership as long as the Clay and Golden State partnership, 10 years, correct?
Yeah, 13.
13 years. Yeah. I'm sorry. 10 years that that those three of them have been together.
Yeah, I think 12 because Draymond was drafted the year after. But still, like, yeah.
I don't know where
decade
I got
plus.
10.
Decade
I don't know
plus.
Where I got 10. But anyway, 13 years. And I knew that too. 13 years in the NBA. When you have a partnership that has lasted 13 years, where he has been so accomplished in that 13 years versus both personally and from a team-wide standpoint, when you get those breakups, if you just look in the history of sports to situations that are comparable, more than not, they end somewhat messy. Some are messier than others, but they end with some semblance of, he said, she said, this is, I feel disrespected, that type of thing. Just go back in history. Anything comparable to the partnership between Klay Thompson and the Warriors. The two that just stand out aren't in basketball, but the two that stand out are two NFL examples, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. They had long, fruitful careers in New England and Indianapolis, respectively. Peyton Manning, while there was not a lot of public, he said, she said, mind you, there hasn't been a ton of it nationally with Klay Thompson. Here locally, when we're just hyper-local and we cover the day in, day out, we hear it a little more and we talk about it, obviously, how we do here on the radio. But nationally, I don't think there's a lot of perception that there's just crazy bad blood. It wasn't so much like that with Peyton Manning either, but I know people who covered that team. One of my mentors, close friend, shout out Anthony Calhoun, the sports director at Wish TV Indianapolis, been there forever, won every local broadcasting award out there. They were not on the same page when they left. It was pretty obvious after Peyton Manning was going to miss that season with the neck injury.
Suck for Luck.
They purposely tanked for Andrew Luck. Peyton Manning knew that. Peyton Manning believed he still had some left, and he was upset.
Like, clearly did.
And yeah, he went out and went to two Super Bowls, right? He won one.
Yeah, they made two Super Bowls. Yeah, but he broke this first year back. I want to say he threw 55 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Or second season in Denver.
Yeah, so Peyton Manning, he was upset.
Yeah.
He had his feelings hurt. And I don't, and when I say he has feelings hurt, I do not mean that as an insult. I just mean he literally, his feelings were hurt. Tom Brady, by the end of that tenure, him and Bill Belichick were, to say they weren't on the same page is putting it lightly. Tom didn't ever think he was going to play for another team. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it just happens. I mean, he's not as accomplished as Klay Thompson, of course, but Dame Lillard. They, him and that owner or that GM, they're not even on talking terms. Him and Portland's GM wouldn't talk to him on the way out. Sometimes that just happens.
And we can continue the conversation about legends, because I think there's an interesting wrinkle with Klay Thompson and why he means so much to the Bay Area, but also why things just kind of had to come to a close. We'll also update you on the Lauri Markkanen situation that continues to move potentially for the Golden State Warriors. Also going to get into and have, you know, what the contract for Franz Wagner this morning meant for Jonathan Kuminga, and really where the Warriors are going to go now, what the Warriors are going to do the remainder of this summer, and also how they're going to sell that to someone like Steph Curry. The reason why we're talking about potentially recruiting on Team USA is because Steph might not be happy with what's on his roster right now. Might not be happy with where the Warriors are at. So we'll talk about that on the other side for our final segment, all right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, one last segment here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings and Jason Dumas with you. We'll also be back tomorrow morning, Jay, from 9 to noon.
Yeah, 9 to noon.
Can't get after
morning.
It tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well.
Says who?
That's what I keep telling myself.
I'll be with Mark Grandy tomorrow, 9 to noon.
I think you're going to be with me.
Oh, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got it again.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Three straight days. We got, what, 12 hours together, man.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it'll be fun. Tomorrow, I doubt we get any big newsy stuff tonight.
No, the big stuff today is, I mean, it seems like DeMar DeRozan is going to be going to Sacramento. They're right, just trying to find a third team.
I really thought he was going to get to the Lakers, hometown team.
I kind of think he wanted to. I mean, no disrespect, but yeah, I think someone would rather go to Los Angeles than Sac.
Oh, take it as disrespect. I don't care. It's the truth.
I'm a NorCal guy, but look,
if you could choose, people get mad when you tell the truth
about that, by the way.
If you could choose, who would rather live in Sacramento than Los Angeles? Come on.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Nobody.
Next question.
Yeah.
Especially, he's from there, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Saw him at the L.A. Forum with Kendrick Lamar and Russell Westbrook. Come on. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is, yeah, he's all L.A. But I think that helps the Kings. And I'm not sure how much. I know Barnes wasn't a player that they necessarily liked. I think he's better than Herter. The other news is, of course, Franz Wagner signing a rookie max today. He is now the third member of his draft class to sign the rookie max, along with Cade Cunningham, who's the number one overall pick that year, and Scottie Barnes, who is the third overall pick. What that means for Kuminga, not so sure. But, of course, the latest that we got was not necessarily news, but it was an Instagram post by Klay Thompson that we detailed on the prior side of the break. And after 13 years, you know, it's sentimental, man. I mean, I think no matter how you feel about Klay and how things ended, whether you feel like it was acrimonious, whether you think it was time, whether you felt like he was maybe a bit spoiled, whether he was, you know, high maintenance, all those things. A lot of the things are true. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's anybody that's a Warriors fan that would tell you that they don't absolutely love Klay Thompson for everything that he brought. And just being able to walk down memory lane a little bit, you know, like I remember Klay Thompson when he had, you know, the waves and the little, I don't know, like high school goatee. And he was just that sharp shooter that was the lockdown two-way guy, was out there for, what, you know, 120 straight playoff games before he got hurt. And pretty much gave his all. So it's tough to see it come to an end. But at the same time, we knew this day was going to come. It was just a matter of when. And unfortunately for him, unlike Curry and Draymond, his two injuries probably expedited that process.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame because, like I said, he was probably the premier two-way player in basketball at the time of his injury. So what was that, 2019?
Yep.
It was either him or the guy he was playing against, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
It was one of those two. Yeah. So it's a shame that his body robbed basketball fans of 2 years of his prime. But that's sports. I mean, that's just the risk you take. It is what it is at this point. No need to really.
And I think he's right that the fact he's been able to come back the way he has and play as well as he has is incredible.
He was an Iron Man last year. I mean, he could have played 82 if they let him and he wanted to. Like, most of the games he missed were more, come on, we're going to spend you a little bit. It wasn't like, I can't play, I'm injured.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he could have played 82. That is inspiring in itself. Bro, I'm going through it right now. Granted, I'm not a pro athlete. I'm not trying to compare myself to Clay and like his willingness to get back. But I know what rupturing your Achilles is like. I ruptured my Achilles on May 25th, got the surgery on May 30th. Like, it sucks. I get it. Our guy, Allen Stiles, did the same thing. And it's just like, you know, I have milestones I'm trying to get back to. I got to walk down an aisle.
Yeah.
In late August, I got to walk down an aisle. Everybody's texting my phone, pressuring is not the right word. I'm getting secondhand pressure. That's not their intent.
To not do it? Or
no, not to not walk down the aisle. I'm getting pressure. let me finish.
Yeah,
I'm getting pressure, secondhand pressure, like, can't wait. Can't wait to dance. Can't wait to. And in the back of my head, I'm like, dude, I can't walk really right now. Like, I have my boot off right now because I'm sitting down and it gets sore when you keep it on for so long. But
just got to hit that UTEP two-step.
Yeah, if I try to walk right now, it's the craziest limp ever. It's so stiff. You can barely, like, the range of motion in my foot is very minimal. So when I get texts saying, like, I can't wait to hit the dance floor with you, it's secondhand, like, pressure to me. I'm like, I'm reading the text and I'm thinking in my head, dude, there's 0% chance I could dance right now. Hopefully, August 31st, you can dance and it'll get better. And my rehab has been going great. I have a great physical therapist with Agile Fitness. You know, shout out to my physical therapist. But it's, you know, I'm trying.
He didn't drop his name.
Yeah, I'm giving him some free pub.
Rick Celebrini.
I wish it was Rick Celebrini. Yeah. No, I have a great one myself.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm not name dropping him is because who knows if he wants me to do that. But my point is, over there at Agile Fitness, they are really taking care of me. But my longstanding point is this. It's an injury that is more mental than physical. Like, the actual injury itself didn't hurt all that much. Like, I've had way more painful injuries. I didn't even have much pain after surgery. I took painkillers for like a day. Then I was like, I don't need these. It doesn't hurt that much. It's just meticulous day by day. And it's little stuff that really beats you down. It's like, just like for a while, just getting up to brush my teeth was a process. And it goes on for about a year. You got to take your daily wins. So for Klay Thompson to go through that and then 2 years later play like 75 plus NBA games, it's insane.
He played the most minutes in that postseason when he came back.
And we're not even talking. He did it literally coming right off an ACL tear.
That's the other part, too. It's like there's the mental taxation of it all. But an ACL tear is equally as taxing.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to the point where you're about to play, you're ready to play, you're ready to come back, and then you tear your Achilles. I just can't imagine. I mean, it makes total sense when he was talking about the dark place that he was in. Like, that's unimaginable for not just an athlete, but anybody. Like, just a normal person to go through the amount of rehab you have to get yourself back to, like you said, just walking or trying to get to a place where you can dance. By the way, congratulations.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also like that is very understated. And I understand why he felt the way he did after working as hard as he did to get back. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was like it makes all of it incredible. But it also means that you're naturally a lesser version, you know, of yourself. This is from No in the 415 in the Xfinity Mobile text line. My top standout memory of Clay is 60 points on 11 dribbles in 2016 versus Indiana. Listening to Jeff Teague talk about that game also might be one of the funniest things I've ever seen on his podcast, which I can't recall the name of, but he was in the huddle just kind of pointing at the box score like, look how much Clay got. Clay's got 50. Like, he's just absolutely cooking us right now.
100%. Yeah. Crazy.
He was that kind of guy. I mean, he was, you know, Clay Thompson, he's still got more threes in a game than Steph does. You know, that was always the conversation I feel like a lot of Warriors fans would have is, you know, like, Curry's obviously the better player.
Mm-hmm.
But Clay can be the most incendiary player. He's up there, like, with the history of the greats.
100%. Like
just the firecracker that he used to be.
And I know Dub Nation is going to back me on this and going to say that my friends back home in Philly are stupid. But one longstanding debate that I've been going back and forth with them for a couple of years now, it's like three against one. And it's three against two. But I'm still mind blown that they take this side. And it's no disrespect to this player I'm about to mention, too. Obviously, he's an all-time great, too. But I think it's absolutely mind-blowing that Reggie Miller is top 75 of all time and Klay Thompson is not. I don't think there's one thing Reggie Miller can do on a basketball court better than Klay. It's not even that close to me. And that is not in slight on Reggie. I was a fan of his. But what can Reggie Miller do better than Klay Thompson? All my friends call me crazy. They're like, nah, it's Reggie. Like, Klay never had to do it as the leading guy, blah, blah, blah. But, and this is, we could debate about this for another hour. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, Klay Thompson did and does everything on a basketball court better than Reggie Miller did. I think he was a better shooter. Defense, we don't need to waste any time about it. He's won at a higher level. I guess the only argument for Reggie is that he had to do it mainly as the solo mission, and Clay is fortunate enough to play with Steph Curry, so,
and Draymond and KD and yeah. All the rest. Yeah, I think Reggie gets the nod in my book just because he represented a franchise for two decades.
Okay,
and there's also, like, I do think part of it is, you know, when you think about a franchise, you think about particular players. And with the Indiana Pacers, there's just not a whole lot that come to mind outside of Reggie Miller. And, you know, is Klay Thompson a better basketball player? Probably. You know, he plays better defense. I think they're, you know, on the same plane as far as shooting. But to represent and carry a franchise for two decades to me is an understated feat, which also is, I think, a reason why, you know, look, nobody wanted to see the big three come to an end, but in a lot of situations, when you're talking about franchise players, faces of franchises, there's usually only room for one. Like, the fact that Klay Thompson is, you know, splitting ways and going to Dallas, that's kind of what happens. Like, Tony Parker retired in Charlotte.
That was gross.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
I wish I never saw him. And he was struggled. He struggled.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I wish better for Clay in Dallas than Tony Parker had in Charlotte.
But not a lot of players that aren't the number one get to retire with the same franchise they stayed with. You know, the fact that Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry all played together for 12 seasons and won four championships might be the most unique trio, the most, I don't know,
I mean,
unimaginable combination that's ever come across the NBA.
They're up there as one of the best trios of all time.
In the free agency era, especially.
Yeah, like, I mean, who else do you have? I mean, I guess you have Pippen, Jordan, and Rodman. They won six together, right? All six of them were together.
No, Rodman wasn't on the first three.
Okay.
It was Horace Grant.
Gotcha. See?
Yeah, Pippen was there for all six, but it was those running mates. I mean,
so I think you got to put Draymond, Clay, and Steph over that one just because they have four together to three.
Yeah, I mean, the only other trio I think that has four is
like
Parker, Ginobili, and Magic, Kareem, and Worthy.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, you go a little.
But that was also at a time where, I mean, keeping players was easier. Like, there wasn't as many hurdles for salary cap purposes. I think players didn't have as much negotiating rights back then. The free agency era has kind of shaped and changed things. I mean, well, you could also go back to the Celtics if you want to talk about top three trios, you know, the 60s and 50s.
Right. I'm sure there's a Larry Bird trio out there.
Yeah, Mikhail Parrish and Bird.
Yeah.
I think they won three together.
Right.
So, I mean, the most modern example is probably Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan.
Yeah, that was a hell of a trio.
And they won four, I believe, together.
And what makes that crazy is Ginobili came off the bench for a bunch of those, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't even like their starter.
That's true.
Which is hilarious. But, I mean, yeah, it won't be duplicated again. Like, it will be duplicated by another trio in the NBA at some point, but few and far between when you see that type of production from three teammates. And they all complemented each other so well on and off the court. Like, we got into it yesterday. It was just like middle child, oldest child, and the baby. It's like their personalities complemented each other on and off the court. And then Steve Kerr was the perfect... like father figure of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a joy to cover, you know, for 6 years. I loved it. I mean, the Golden State Warriors have been the most rewarding organization I've covered in my time as a journalist, and I'm sure it'll continue to be. So yeah, I mean, shoot, I've gone to two finals in 6 years.
Yeah, like if you walk into a, you know, well, I'm just, why am I saying a bar? Freudian slip. If you walk into a, you know, place of business and someone's a sports fan and you have a conversation and somehow the topic of best trios of all time comes up, Clay, Steph, and Dre are at the top of, I think, everybody's minds.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a case for some others, sure, but... If someone said Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green are the greatest trio of all time, I would not refute that.
No, you could even be a Bulls fan or a Lakers fan. You might disagree because of your allegiance, but you couldn't call that person crazy.
No, and I think that's also part of the sadness is like individually, you know, most people love Klay, and because of the reasons we've talked about the last few days, but also it's just the end of an era. Like it's one thing to not see Klay Thompson in a Warriors jersey. It's also another thing to think about next season, watching Steph and Draymond without Klay, like without him out there with them. And that was the part that was a bit jarring in 2021 when Klay was still recovering from his Achilles. It was like, where's Klay? Like, where's the other Splash Brother? He's not there. He's hurt. But gosh, just like, it's just almost, it doesn't look like Warriors basketball in a way.
Mm-mm.
And no, they're going to have to move into a different iteration of Warriors basketball anyways. But
I think they are. I think that started last year. Especially post All-Star break. Now, you couldn't completely do that while he was still on the roster, obviously. But the rise of Brandon Pajemski, and he became a first team all rookie player, and he started getting starts over Klay. And he will probably likely, if the roster is as currently constructed, will likely get the starting two guard spot next season. It will truly be ushered into a new era. And it'll be interesting how Steph and Draymond kind of help usher into a new era. And, you know, if they will embrace it. You got to imagine, they got no choice but to embrace it.
Well, so if you got here, and it was 2018-19 was your first year?
Literally 6 years this month.
So what do you, like, when you think of, I guess, iconic Klay moments, I mean, maybe it could be off the court if you want, but like, how do you kind of remember Klay?
I'll remember Klay as a person. He's very introspective. He's very hyper aware of how he's viewed, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I care about how people view me. Like some people, like I think people who say I don't care how people view me, I think most people are lying. There are some people who have that innate quality to truly not care.
And I'm jealous of some of those people.
I think they're outliers.
Yeah,
personally,
you're right. They're definitely outliers. It's not the it is not the rule. And the people who say I don't, the people who scream I don't care how, what you think of me the most care the most.
Klay Thompson on line one.
Yeah, exactly. He cares deeply how he is viewed, especially within the context of the NBA Brotherhood. So I think that wore on him the last couple of years. But all in all, I will view him as, on the court, one of the toughest players I've seen on the court, especially pre-injury. Like, he is a guy who is going to guard the best player. He is going to take big shots. He's going to come up big in big moments. He's a guy who rocks to the beat of his own drum set, even when things are going great. Rocking to the beat of his own drum set. For better or for worse. But most importantly, I'll just remember him as a guy who competes. You know, that's really all you can ask for. As a coach, as a teammate, he's going to compete and give it his all. And in the process, he won four championships at a high level. That's really what I'll remember him as.
Yeah, I mean, I think of Klay Thompson as a winner. You know, and I think the competitive nature that he tried to sometimes not show ended up just manifesting itself in some of those passive aggressive confrontations or, you know, messages about not being top 75 or feeling bad about players not considering him what he used to be, you know, fighting, whether it's against Father Time or fighting against injury. All of those things I think are just expressions of the innate and unmatched competitor that he actually is. And his fire doesn't come out the way it does with Draymond. It doesn't even manifest itself the way it does with Curry. You know, Klay Thompson is, he's a winner. And he's, since the moment he really stepped in with the Warriors, I think he's always contributed to winning. He knows what it takes. And I think that's something he probably learned from his parents, from his dad, but also his mom. And it's something that he's been able to, I don't know, just always naturally be able to do. Like, he, even though some people might think about him just because of the last couple of years as, you know, like a selfish player, like his game, because his game is like selfishly unselfish. Like, he's going to shoot the ball and everyone knows it, but he doesn't need the ball. Like, when the ball touches his hand, it goes up, but he doesn't need to dribble. He doesn't need to touch it. He also doesn't have to worry about if he's going to be guarding this player or that player. He always would relish the challenge of picking up the best perimeter player on the other team. Like, he loved that. And that was such a great compliment to Curry. And then with Draymond as the interior guy, they were so perfectly put together. I mean, you just cannot script a better threesome that complements each other more so than Klay, Steph, and Dre. And so, yeah, was Klay fortunate to be in the situation he was? Yes. I also think he made the most of it. And four championships is just that. So I think I'll always remember Klay Thompson as being a winner.
They were all fortunate, really. Like, who knows if Steph has the career he has without those two, and vice versa with Draymond Green.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I look forward to picking up with you at 9 a.m., man.
Yes, sir, 9 a.m. Going to take us right into the California Classic.
No doubt. Yeah, California Classic tomorrow. Again, get your tickets at warriors.com. Jason Dumas, myself, Evan Giddings. Big thank you to Carter Chickering, also producing this bad boy for you today. Thanks to everyone who called in. Thank you to Tony Jones, who joined us from The Athletic on the River Islands guest line earlier. Big thank you to our YouTube and Twitch chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. tomorrow. It's a high noon on 95.7 The Game. Thank you to everyone that has enjoyed their Independence Day with us, their Friday with us, whether you've been working, whether you've not been working. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, all right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.